We're in a series called In His Presence. In His Presence. And you know, as your pastor who loves you, you know, my job is to equip you for the work of the ministry. You know that, right? My job is to equip you for what God's called you to do. That's my job. To give you tools, to give you process, to give you a system, to give you a word from the Word of God that will help you fulfill your call and your destiny. That's my job, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And as your pastor, I want you today, this is our second service. You do know we have four now on a weekend, four services every weekend. And as your pastor, I want you to grow spiritually. I want you to grow spiritually. I want you to have a deeper walk with God. That's what I want for you, because that's the answer, right? That's the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the, yeah, y'all, we just did a choir number right there, praise the Lord. But really, that's what it's all about right now. And getting in his presence, there's a process to get in his presence. I would write that down. It doesn't happen automatically. You got to be intentional. You got to be intentional to get in his presence. Learning how to practice the presence of God, 724. And you say, Pastor, well, why do I even care? Well, you don't want to live with fear, anxiety, worry, stress, struggling all your life, overwhelmed, up and down, inconsistent, not receiving all that God has. You and I don't want that for us or our family. Amen. Daniel just sang it. In his presence, there's hope that comes there. In his presence, all fear melts away. In his presence, you know, his love is revealed to so many things. And so a lot of Christians, you know, they just go through a routine. I've been raised in the church all my life, so I've saw a lot of things. And there's more to it than just getting born again. That's the initial step. And there's more to it than going to church, and that's part of it. But you and I want a personal, intimate relationship with God. We want to be growing every day of our life as a Christian. We want to go deeper in him. And we can't do that without knowing how to get in his presence. I'm going to say it again. There's a process to get into his presence. Doesn't the Bible say, come before his presence with thanksgiving? Yes. You know, I hope you're journaling with me. 1 year Bible. I read mine today. You know, it was in Exodus, you know, Moses, the children of Israel. And then Psalm, a proverb, a New Testament. And then I journaled. I had a man last night tell me, he ran me down in the lobby. He ran me down. He said, Pastor, my life has changed tonight. My life has changed totally tonight. I've got a new revelation of journaling tonight. I thought, wow, that is awesome. You know, that journaling will get confusion out of your life. Journaling brings clarity into your life. It really does. And so that's another sermon right there. But getting in his presence, there's a process. There's things that we need to do. There's steps. You know, that's why we did 25 minutes of praise and worship, is to get your heart prepared and get in his presence. You have to prepare your heart to get in the presence of God. You don't just come to church and get strong. I don't become a Big Mac just by going to McDonald's this afternoon, right? I'm not a car just because I sit in a garage, nor am I a growing Christian just because I go to church. I have to prepare myself before I ever get to church to get the most out of church. I'm going to say that again. I have to prepare my heart before I ever come on this campus to get everything God wants me to get from the services. It's called the preparation of the heart. We talked about that last week. I have to prepare my heart to get into the presence of God. And in the presence of God, that's where all your answers are you're looking for today. All the answers you're looking for all the questions you have, you'll find in his presence. So it's really important then to know the process and how I get into his presence. There's a process to do that. I have to be intentional. It's not automatic. That's why we encourage people not to try to rule over people, but we say engage in the worship service. Because through engaging, it opens our heart. It opens our heart to receive from the Lord. That's why we need to participate and not just sit and look, because that's a waste of time. That gets nothing, does nothing for me when I go to church. I have to engage. I have to participate. I have to prepare my heart. I have to know there's a process. It doesn't happen automatically. For me to have an anointing like I have today, there was a process to get that. I had to study. I had to fast. I had to separate myself. I couldn't do what everybody else was doing. I couldn't go where they're going. I couldn't do what they're doing. There's things in my life, habits in my life, that I know I have to do a process to be anointed. It doesn't just happen. Well, to be in His presence, there's a process. There's steps. There's things we have to do. There's things we have to do in the natural that ignites things in the spiritual. There's things we have to do in the natural that ignites things in the spiritual. Smith Wigglesworth said, start off in the flesh and you'll end up in the spirit. Smith Wigglesworth says, start off in the flesh and you'll end up in the spirit. I don't understand you. A cold morning like this morning, and you get out of that warm bed. I didn't want to get out of bed this morning. Can I just tell you that? I didn't want to. You know, my alarm was set. Kim and I, our alarm was set for 5:45. The alarm went off, and Kim said, can we just lay here a little bit longer? I said, yeah, let's lay here a little bit longer. And so we lay there a little bit longer, and she said, you got to get up now. I said, why? She said, you're the pastor. You got to get up. I didn't feel like coming, but once I got up and I got in the shower and I turned the shower on and I had, you know, aches and pains and creaks and this and the other from working out, and I didn't feel like coming. All of a sudden, I began to lift my hands in the shower, worship God, thank God for you, thank God for my family, thank God for the Word, thank God for the Holy Spirit, thank God for the supernatural. You know what? I started off in the flesh and I ended up in the Spirit. So when you come to church, you don't feel like raising your hands. That's the best time to raise your hands and enter in. Amen. You don't feel like singing. We got the words on the screen. You just begin to do it. And you know what? Things will begin to happen in your life. Amen. Because all change starts in the presence of God. All change starts in the presence of God. Lasting change. Are you with me, family? Okay, you're amazing. Let's get right into it today then. The definition of presence, Bible definition of presence, is in and before His face. It's face-to-face fellowship. It's face-to-face relationship. It's face-to-face with God. Real worship is face-to-face, and His presence is face-to-face. Now, listen very carefully. If this is boring to you, then you've got a spiritual problem. Can I just tell you that right now? And you're in the right place, because I'm a spiritual chiropractor. Hallelujah. It may hurt for a while, but you'll thank me later. Amen. So it's really important that we understand that presence means in His face. I don't understand you, Pastor. Let me explain it this way. We are to go into our closet, our prayer closet, our quiet time, or that time we have with God every day, and stay there till we see His face. I don't understand. Pastor, you're kind of spooky today, supernatural. We're going to see the... No. What it means, it's a metaphor. What it means, you stay there until you sense something has changed. You stay there until your mood has lifted. Your attitude has been altered. Your unforgiveness has become forgiveness. You were mad, but now you're glad. You were sad, but now you're up. You were down, but now you're encouraged. You were feeling sorry for yourself, but now you're rejoicing. You stay there until you see His face, or you stay there until you feel God, sense God, a change in your life. You stay there until you get a revelation. What do you mean? Until the light comes on. All of a sudden, now you know why your marriage isn't working. All of a sudden, now you know now why you don't get a promotion. All of a sudden, now you know why you can't keep a friend. All of a sudden, you know now why you haven't got your healing. All of a sudden, you know now why life's so hard. You get revelation. You get revelation. That's what it means face to face. We rush. Daniel said in his song, don't rush. We rush. The American church, we rush. We're in a hurry. We don't have time for God. It's microwave. It's in and out. And if for you and I to have a face-to-face, really get in His presence, where really change happens for your marriage, for your ministry, for your family, for your parenting, you got to get in His presence. And you stay there until it's face-to-face. You stay there until the light comes on. Now I see. Now I feel. Now I hear. Now I get it. Am I helping anybody? We used to call it tarrying at the altar. Tarrying at the altar. You stayed there until there was a change. You came to church mad. You get in his presence. You leave church glad. You came to church down. You get in his presence. You stay there until you leave up. You come to church wondering what to do. You get in his presence. You leave knowing what to do. The next step, the wisdom, the discernment, what to do at work, what to do at home, what to do with your children. That's what it means, getting in his presence. But we're in a hurry. We don't have time. We're in a rush. And I'm telling you, family, I'll never grow deep in God that way. I'll never have a deep relationship. I'll never really grow spiritually. I'll never reach my potential until I learn to linger. Until I learn to linger. Until I learn to stay in his presence. And you know, really being in his presence, more about listening than talking. Hallelujah. So the next definition was the place of blessing in his presence. And I want to help you practice his presence outside the church. I want to help you practice his presence, 724, so you can go to the place of blessing. That's the place of blessing, getting in his presence. That's the place of breakthrough. That's where all of our enemies melt like wax. That's the place of revelation. That's the place of insight. That's the place of promotion. That's the place of favor. That in his presence is the place of blessing. I like it. Psalm 16, verse 11, if you'll turn there with me in your Bible or go to the overheads, Psalm 16, verse 11, watch this. I love this verse. Thou will show me the path of life. So number one, if you're a note taker, a benefit of getting in God's presence is you discover God's will for your life. You discover God's will for your life. And you're not a mistake. You're made on purpose with a purpose. God put you here on purpose for right now. He didn't want you any other time. He wanted you in this time period. And so you need to understand that if you're confused today, you don't know what you're to do with your life today, you're struggling today, you're drifting today from job to job, home to home, church to church, life to life, you know, from this, that, the other, looking for real life, you're going to find that in his presence. In his presence, he will show you. Tell me, say it to me, show me. And you know, we're in the show me state. Little joke there. You're not laughing at my jokes today. So thou will show me the path of life. So number one, if you want to know what you're to do with your life, linger. Get into his presence. That's where I found out what I was to do with my life. There was all kinds of things that I wanted to do growing up. I mean, I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be an F1 driver. I wanted to be a business person, an entrepreneur. I got straight A's in art in high school. I was going to be an artist. I was creative. I was going to do all these things. But I found out what I was really supposed to do with my life when I went to an altar after the service was all over and I lingered. I just lingered. And I said, God, here I am. I don't know what to do with my life. I want to do what you want me to do with my life. And please show me. And it was as I began to listen, I heard not outwardly, but inwardly, a voice that said, I've called you to be a pastor teacher. And that's what you do with your life. Where did I find that? I found it in his presence. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Let's all say joy. Joy. Don't you just love the sound of that? In his presence, you'll find fullness of joy. I love that. That's so important because you realize that your faith won't work without joy. Your faith won't work. This is worth coming to the 9 o'clock service. Your faith won't work. My faith won't work without joy. While we're standing and we're believing and we're waiting, and we're believing that we ask God and we received it, but we don't have it yet. We received it, but we don't have it yet. But we're standing. What are we to do? If I'm waiting for it and I'm complaining and I'm depressed and I'm upset and I'm angry, my faith won't work. It's all in the Bible. For my faith to work, it has to be rejoicing at the same time. For my faith to work, it has to be rejoicing at the same time. So where do I get that joy when I don't feel joy? I get it in his presence. You know, I have something that you probably don't have, and I really have mixed feelings about it. One day I like it, next day I hate it. It's called an iPhone. And you know what I found out about my iPhone? Every night when I go to bed, I have to plug it in. If I don't plug it in, it gets drained, right? If you and I don't plug into his presence, we get drained. Life will drain us. And so if we get low on the joy gauge and the Christian car and the dash, there's a joy gauge. And if my joy is low, that could be why my faith isn't moving mountains. We say it this way, faith is likened into a stick of dynamite, our faith. But the fuse to your faith is joy. The fuse to your faith is joy. You got to light the fuse for the dynamite to explode. You got to be walking and rejoicing at the same time for your faith to move mountains, for your faith to work. So that could help somebody here or online today to let you know maybe that's why your faith hasn't been moving, achieving, accomplishing what we wanted to do, because we think we have faith, we think it is working, but yet we're unhappy, miserable, feel sorry for ourselves, depressed and sad all the time. Faith won't work without joy. Are you with me, family? So the first benefit is that you find out what you're to do with your life when you get in his presence. And that's going to take time. That's going to take a habit of doing it every day. And then number two, you'll find joy, overflowing joy. What does the Bible say? When you fall into trouble, count it all joy. When you fall into trouble, count it all joy. So we've got to develop that joy. Where do you get it, Pastor? In his presence. And then thirdly, look at the third benefit from this verse. I'm doing what you call expository teaching, breaking down one verse. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So there are pleasures that we will only find in his presence. There are pleasures in this life and the life to come. Because if you look at this chapter earlier, it's talking about the death and resurrection, our resurrection. So when he says pleasures forevermore, he said there are pleasures you don't know about when you get in his presence that you only find out about when you get in his presence. There are pleasures, there are things that God wants to do with you, for you, and in you, that you will have no other way of finding out about them rather than get in his presence. Are you with me? So let me say the word. What do you mean? Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. So in his presence, I got to linger if I want to find out what God wants me to do with my life. Secondly, in his presence, I'll find joy. I'll find joy in his presence so my faith will work and operate. And number three, I'll get revelation knowledge. In other words, I'll begin to see things I can't see in the natural. I'll begin to hear things I can't hear with my natural ear. I'll begin to see things with my spiritual eye and my spiritual ear. He that hath an ear, let them hear. In his presence comes revelation. Now stay with me, family. We're a teaching church. In his presence comes revelation knowledge. You cannot get that revelation knowledge any other way than getting in his presence. You know, I didn't see it. I didn't hear it until I got in his presence. I didn't understand it. I couldn't make heads or tails of it until I got in his presence. Now, let me take you one step farther. Faith is built on revelation knowledge. That's huge. Faith is built on revelation knowledge. I don't understand, Pastor. We're reading our one-year Bible together, but that's not enough to build your faith. Reading your one-year Bible is the process, but not the end. Reading our one-year Bible, you say, well, I read the Bible with you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to lead you in that. I want to help you do that. But reading your Bible, it doesn't build your faith. It's reading your Bible, the Logos, until you get a rhema revelation of what you read. And rhema is what you build your faith on. You don't build your faith on the general knowledge of the Bible. You build your faith on revelation knowledge. In other words, if you tell me that God is a healer and it's your revelation and I don't have that revelation, then healing won't work for me because I'm trying to get healed on your revelation. If you tell me that God wants to bless everything my hand would touch in my marketplace, in my business, in my company, and it's your revelation, but if I don't have it, it won't work for me. My faith won't work in that area. It's so important you understand, most Christians have never heard this, is that you build your faith on revelation knowledge. And revelation knowledge only comes from being in His presence. You read the general Bible, the one-year Bible that's entry level, and then you keep reading it, then all of a sudden a scripture lights up. All of a sudden, a topic becomes clear. All of a sudden, a theme is revealed to you. All of a sudden, the light comes on. All of a sudden, it's not your mom or your dad or the pastor or the bishop or the pope. All of a sudden, it's your revelation. And now you've got faith. Your faith is built on revelation knowledge. Are you with me? I'll give you an illustration. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus comes to the disciples and say, "Who do men say that I am?" Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jonah. Some say this, some say that. And he says to Peter, "Simon Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." Watch. Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Only my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." And then he said this, "I will build my church on this revelation, and the gates of hell will not prevail." What is he saying? You build your life on revelation. You don't build your life on just skimming through the scriptures. You don't build your life on just skimming quickly over the Bible. You build it by taking time, reading it slowly out loud to yourself until that scripture, that topic, that theme comes alive, and now you know that you know that you know that you know. Am I helping anybody today? Most Christians don't know this. I've been doing this all my life. Why isn't my faith working? Because you're basing it on a formula, on a seminar, on a tape, on a cassette, on a website, on a podcast. It's not your revelation. It's their revelation. It's got to become your revelation to activate your faith. And it becomes your revelation when you get in the presence of God. No wonder it doesn't work for a lot of people, a lot of Christians, because they think just going to church, skimming through the Bible once a week is enough. It's not enough. They think just skimming through the Bible quickly and fastly, it's not enough. We got to get in His presence. Reading the Bible releases His presence. Reading the Bible is a process to get in His presence. That's why we're doing the one-year Bible, because as your pastor who loves you, I got to help you get in His presence, because then you won't get frustrated with your faith. Then you won't backslide. You'll be with me next year, the same time, same bat channel. I've been doing this a long time, and I watch Christians that get on fire for God, and they're here in every service for 3 or 4 months. All of a sudden, they drop out. They're not here. What happened? They're trying to build their faith on other people's faith, other people's revelation. They're trying to do this and do that, the other, and they don't understand. They have to develop spiritual habits, and you have to master the ordinary. Did you hear what I said? Master the ordinary. Most people can't master the ordinary. They get bored. Well, I got to go to a new church. I need new revelation. That's not good. Okay? So here we have, am I helping anybody today? I'm preaching my little heart out for you today. I want to help you. I want to help the light to come on. I want to help you get answers. I want to help you have a strong home, family, parenting, children, life, career, business. But we got to linger. We got to rush. We got to spend time. We got to have that quiet time. We got to do the one-year Bible. We got to read our Bible. We got to have a plan. We got to stay into it until the light comes on. Till the revelation comes on. Then you have faith. Then you have faith. It's built on revelation. Where do you get it? Not at a concert. Not at a concert. And I'm not against concerts. You don't get it at a concert. You get it one-on-one, quiet time, with you and the Lord, face to face. Stay there until you see His face. If I'm helping somebody, give the Lord a big praise, would you? Hallelujah. Wow. We're just going to rush through this. Matthew 11, verse 28. "Come unto me," Jesus said. So we all have an open invitation. We all have an open invitation. God will not interfere, interrupt, or disrupt our life without permission. We all have an open invitation to come to Him. It doesn't matter who you are and what you've done and where you've been. God is for you today. And Church on the Rock is for you today. And your pastor is for you today. So come unto me. That's the first step. That's getting born again. That's getting born again. That's getting saved, become a Christian. I start coming to church. I start reading my Bible, spiritual habits. I start reading my Bible. I start praying. I start tithing. I start serving. I start sharing. That's the ordinary. Most people can't do it. And as I master the ordinary, I have come to Him. But then He says, come to me, all you that are burnt out, you're overwhelmed, you're struggling, you're taking Valium, you're taking medication, you're taking drugs, you're addicted, you can't find any relief. He says, come to me, look at the scripture, and I will give you rest. Wow. I will give you rest. Wow. Verse 29, take. Let's all say it, take. So here's the process. Remember, I said there's a process. You come and then you take. You come and then you take. Jesus was a master carpenter, not Bible, but legend says that He was a master in making yokes for oxen. He was a master for making yokes for animals. And so Jesus knew all about crafting specifically designed yokes. The yoke here stands for discipleship. Discipleship. A disciple is what we're all called to be. It means a disciplined master of the ordinary, a disciplined follower of Christ. So first we come to Him, and then we say, God, I want more. God will only go where He's wanted. God will only go where He's wanted. Don't ever forget that. God will only go where He's wanted. God will only go where He's invited. God will only go where there's hungry people. So He said, come. Then He said, take. Become a disciple, a disciplined follower, a disciplined follower. The spiritual habits, I develop them. I stay with them. I master the ordinary. I don't get bored with routine. So take my yoke upon you. And then thirdly, He said, learn of me. So say it with me. Would you please come, take, learn. That's the process. Now watch this. This is why a lot of people won't serve God. This is why a lot of people are to think you're crazy, and they think I'm crazy, and they'll say this to us. Well, if your God's so good, why is there racism? If your God's so good, why is there murder, rape, incest? If your God is so good, why is there wars? If your God's so good, why did my daughter die, my husband die? If your God's so good, why did I lose my job? If your God's so good, we've heard it, haven't we? If your God is so good, then why does He let tsunamis and earthquakes and famine and starvation? If your God's so good, they don't have a clue because they haven't learned of Him. You have to learn God's principles on how God operates. You have to learn God's principles, His systems, His laws. God operates by laws. And for example, when somebody says that they haven't learned of Him, they don't know that God is not in charge of the world right now. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that the God of this world is Satan, not God. God is not in control. God is not over this world. Satan is. But soon and very soon, God will be over this world. So God is not behind starvation and racism and drugs and alcohol and incest and rape and bankruptcy and tsunamis and tornadoes and earthquakes. God is not behind it, even though the insurance company will say it's an act of God. They don't know. You see, you have to learn how God operates if you're going to follow Him and finish strong all the days of your life. You have to learn how He operates. He said, well, Pastor, you know, I prayed and God didn't answer my prayers. I've heard this. I prayed and God didn't answer my prayers. So He doesn't care about me. He doesn't love me. And so I don't want anything to do with God. They haven't learned of God. The Bible does say ask so you can receive. But it said ask with the right motive and not amiss. So if I'm asking with the wrong motive, He can't answer me. Need doesn't move God. Want doesn't move God. Only faith moves God. God is a faith God. I can't receive diddly squat from God because I need it, want it, beg for it. It works by faith. Where'd you get that, preacher? Romans chapter 3. It calls the law of faith. God operates by the law of faith. And if I don't know how faith works, then I don't know how God works. So I have to learn God's principles. I have to, as a team comes out, learn God's ways. So say it with me, come, take, learn, find. You'll find rest. I love that. You'll find rest for your souls. And that's what we're all looking for today, aren't we? Rest from the stress. I want to read it one more time real quickly, if you allow me, from the Message translation. Because it identifies with all of us. Are you tired? Wow. Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Then what do? Come to me. Get away with me. That's privacy. That's personal. That's quiet time. That's get in his presence. Come away with me and you will recover. I love that. You will recover your life. I'll show you how. I'll show you how. I'll show you the process. I'll give you revelation. I'll show you what you can't see. I'll show you what you can't hear on your own. Get in my presence. And I'll show you how to take a real rest. I believe that this month you and I are going to practice the presence of God like never before. And our lives are going to change and improve and expand and increase. Our family, our marriage, our children, our children's children, our businesses, our companies, come on somebody, our health. When you get in his presence, it affects your mind. When you get in his presence, watch this now. When you get in his presence, lies die. When you get in his presence, lies die. Satan is the liar and the father of all lies. A lot of you have been listening to lies. It's time to start listening to the truth. And the truth will set you free. I'm done. Did you get anything today? Come on, let's give the Lord a big thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You'd say, Pastor, I'm not right with God. I want to get right with God. Pastor, I don't know God as my personal Lord and Savior. Pastor, this is kind of all new to me, but I want what you talked about. I want that rest. I want that peace. I want that assurance. I want to know why I'm here. I want to know God. I want to know more about God. I want to know about what he has for me. I want to give my life to him. Or, Pastor, I'm a believer, but God is causing me to reset my life in 2026. Go deeper. And you told us, I can't go deeper until I practice his presence. I can't go deeper until I get in his presence. And there's a process to get in his presence. Pastor, I want to reset and rededicate my life today. Online, for those of you, we're so glad you joined us. Just punch the button. Faith is an act. You got to do something. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one is going to embarrass you. But I'd like to know who I'm going to pray for. And faith is an act. You got to do something. You say, Pastor, that's me. You've been talking about me. I'm ready. Include me in your prayer. Slip your hand up right now, would you? In every section, just thank you. Just slip your hand up. Hands are going up. Just God bless you. God bless you. This is your day. It's going to turn around. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Hands are still going up, ushers. I don't know. God bless you all. I love you so much. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray a prayer together right now. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Church, let's help everybody here, everybody online. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner and I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for me and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look up and celebrate as our host comes.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church in the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church in the Rock and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/GodIsForYou. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church on the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.